I didn't get a whole lot of response there. How's everybody doing tonight? Oh, okay, there we go. Now we're talking. If y'all will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. We're going to look at a very familiar Bible story tonight. I'll tell you how I'm feeling tonight. I feel really grateful tonight. If I were to sum it up in one word, I feel really grateful. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to feel grateful. But if you'd have seen me Sunday, and you see me standing here now, I tweaked my back on Saturday. Didn't really know it till Sunday morning when I tried to stand up. And I don't know if that's called getting old or what that is, but I was suffering. I don't know if you ever had the back pain that at least you can't stand up straight and can't put weight on one foot, and it's hard to walk without weight on both feet, right? So anyway, I was suffering. I did heat, and I did more Advil in the last 3 days than I've done in the last 3 years. And I feel all right today. You know, when I take it for granted, every day my back's not hurting. I don't even recognize that my back's not hurting. But you know, when you can't even stand up, all you can think is, I'm about to have some surgery, or something big is about to have to happen in my life. And I know some of you have had that surgery, and I'm just going to tell you, just because you did it don't mean I want to do it. I feel kind of partial to not having that happen. But there's just a lot to be grateful for. You know, God gives us health. He gives us favor. He takes care of us. And when things are going well, we can be grateful. And when things are not going so well, we can be grateful. Because a lot of times in that situation when things aren't going so well, there's a lesson to be learned. I had someone the other day talking about listing all the things that were going on in her life, and I go, my goodness, how are you? How are you holding all that weight? I mean, how are you able to stand that? And then I thought, well, wait a minute now. There might be something in this for you. You need to take this moment and look around, because there might be something to learn right here. And God might be trying to put you in this place so you can learn whatever that thing is. Because I sure don't want to repeat a lesson and miss my learning. So when we win, we're grateful. When we lose, we're learning. It's one way we can look at life. And sometimes when we lose, we're winning, because that's the path God has us on to put us in a different place later. You ever had God tell you He was preparing you for something else? Well, if He's preparing you for something else, where you are ain't where you're going to be. So the path you got to take to get to where you're going may be to go through some things that you didn't want or you didn't expect to get strong enough to handle where you're going. God will manage that for us if we'll let Him. So in Daniel 6, verse 1, it says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage." So I started looking at Daniel just a little bit. Now it says here that Daniel was first. Daniel at this time was, according to my study Bible, was about 90 years old. And Daniel actually, believe it or not, was kidnapped into service for the government back under Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And he was pulled into this service, and he had been given favor, and then he lost favor, and he'd been given favor. Well, at this moment in time, Daniel's a pretty seasoned person, pretty seasoned man, and he even witnessed the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego event in the fiery furnace. Daniel, he had some things going on. He had some wisdom in him. And at this moment in time, for King Darius, he was first. He was among three men that were set over that kingdom. And under those three men were 120 princes. So you got Darius, and then you got Daniel, who's basically a deputy, and then you got two other people who are kind of equal with Daniel, but because they had the same realm of responsibility, but didn't have the same stature. So Daniel was right there at the top, right beside the king, and had the king's ear. And it says in verse 3, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. So above those three presidents, above all the 120 princes, Daniel was preferred. And here's what I don't want you to miss. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Because an excellent spirit was in him. There was something special about Daniel. And it wasn't in his looks. It wasn't in the way he moved. It wasn't in the way he talked. It wasn't necessarily in his ability. It was in his spirit. He was expressing something from within to those without that they recognized as an excellent spirit. And the men that were put in charge of the kingdom, whether it be Nebuchadnezzar, whether it be Darius, they saw this excellent spirit in him, and they drew him close because that gave them comfort and that gave them wisdom because he could speak on behalf of God and advise them. So this excellent spirit in Daniel calls, in verse 3 it says, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. In other words, Daniel, you got this. I'm going to sit in my seat and I'm going to play my role as the king, but Daniel, you handle this business. You got this. That's a lot of trust that a king would put in a man. So Daniel, again, was approximately 90 years old, and he had this favor. Now this favor, I've learned through my life that favor is very fickle. When you have favor with a man or a group, that's a very fickle thing. Because you might be in a situation where you've got that favor and everything you say is brilliant. And I gotta admit, I've been in that situation before. I mean, it's just like gold, you know, it's just flowing. They just think I got it going on. And then I've been in situations where I can't say anything that makes any sense. And you go, well, what's different? I'm the same person. What's different in those two situations? Well, in one situation, I have favor from the folks who are in authority. In another situation, I don't have favor. And I can't affect that. All I can do is what's within me to do and try to do what's right. And they get to decide whether it sounds intelligent or smart or the right thing to do. Well, guess who tells them whether to give me favor? Just like you. Who's gonna give you favor with those who have influence in your life? God's gonna give you that favor. It's God's decision of whether we have favor or not in those situations. Now, you say, well, God, why wouldn't God give us all favor in all situations? Well, I don't know. I mean, why did God give one five talents and give one talent? Why did God do that? I don't know. He decided. And it's, you know, the Bible says that His ways are not our ways, but what I do know from the story of the talents is whether you got five, two, or one, God would have us take what He gave us and do the most we can with us. So in the moments where we have favor, we should leverage that the most we can. In the moments where what we're saying and what we're doing may not have that much favor, then we're supposed to do the best we can with that too. Because God would have us learn through all those situations. So it said that Daniel had an excellent spirit. You ever met anyone or know anyone that you thought had an excellent spirit? Maybe someone younger or someone that in the ministry that you thought you might want to encourage or help along, or maybe someone in your profession or your trade that reminds you of maybe a younger you, or might reminds you of someone that you would really like to help, and it was because they had an excellent spirit and you'd really love to see them succeed. Any of y'all ever experienced that? I have in my life, and I've sought out ways to give those people opportunities so that other people could benefit and they could grow and be stronger. I know that in the preacher and the pastor community, often a more senior pastor or preacher will get knitted with a younger pastor or preacher, and that bond will start through their ministries. And next thing you know, that relationship causes not just the the mentee to be better, but also the mentor. And the whole kingdom benefits from that. And all the people that serve under those ministries benefit from that. God knits us together with people and gives us that bond and gives us favor and connects our spirits. Well, Daniel was benefiting from that because he had that excellent spirit. Now, Daniel was different. When you looked at Daniel, you saw something different about him. Now, there's one thing. This is going to be brilliant, Brother Tim. Now, I want everybody to pay real close attention to this because this is just going to knock. This is going to go. Whoa! How in the world did Brother Randy think of that? He must be a scholar. In order for people to see you as different, you've got to act different. Is that brilliant? Thank you, brother. I was waiting for that. I was fishing for it. That long pause. I thought you left me hanging. I didn't know. How are we going to be used as someone that is different if we act like everybody else around us? Daniel wasn't acting like everybody else around him. He was grounded in the things of the Lord. He had seen what God could do. He was knitted with the Word. He had his purpose, and he was standing no matter what. God could use that because that's different. And that's the way he got chosen. In verse 4 it says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." You see, Daniel was made up of a fiber that was woven together from God's Word. And when they searched over him and they looked real close at him, they couldn't find any fault. Now, there was somebody else that no fault could be found in. That's right. And Jesus was accused, but he wasn't guilty. Jesus paid, but he didn't owe. So they were looking at Daniel, and they were looking for error. Because you see these presidents and these princes that were just right under Daniel, just like 2 and 3 steps from the king, that wasn't good enough for them. They needed to move 1 more step higher or 2 more steps higher. They already had more than 99.99%. More wealth, more respect, more position, more fame. They had more duty, more honor, more privilege. They had all that. But Daniel had just a little bit more. So, how else are you going to get a little bit more? You're going to take out the person that's in that spot. So they wanted to take Daniel out because maybe the king listened to Daniel just a little bit more. Well, they couldn't have hated Daniel because he was a jerk or because he was rude or because he was backbiting, because the scripture says right here that there wasn't any of that in him. He just stood on the word of the Lord, and when he was asked, he gave perspective from God's word. And he was also, earlier in the chapters, he was also very wise, and God gave him the ability to interpret dreams and to really help the king around the things that were toiling him and that were troubling him. And when the philosophers and the astrologers and even the wizards couldn't help the king navigate through his problems, Daniel could tap into the Spirit of God and he could say, "This is the situation." And the king could hear it. And the king could be settled and the king could make decisions. Well, that makes me jealous if I'm in that circle and I want to be the one. So these presidents and princes were jealous. And they set to take Daniel out. Now, here's the thing about jealousy. Every single one of us are a target of jealousy. Every single one of us. But here we go again, Brother Tim. And every single one of us are jealous. We're all targets of it, and we all do it. God doesn't honor jealousy on either side of that. God wouldn't have us be jealous of someone else, because if we're jealous of them, we want something they've got that we think belongs to us. We want to be in a position that they're in, or we want to be ahead of them. God would have our desire to be in the exact position that He would want us to be. And that is not judged or measured by where anyone else is. I can stand here and say it, but I can think of something on the way home and be jealous myself. That's the way human beings work. And the worst part is 80% of the time, judged by a study I just made up, we don't even know we're jealous, and that's why we're acting ridiculous. Most of the time, we're reacting to an emotion that we don't even understand, and we're lashing out, or we're hurting someone, or we're depressed, or we're doing something that no one is benefiting from an emotion we don't even get, and it goes right back to jealousy. God honors our faithfulness. God honors our sacrifice. God honors us seeking His Word, seeking His path, getting exactly where we're supposed to be, doing our work, receiving our blessing, receiving our burdens, handling our business, and not everybody else's. So they found no fault in Daniel. So how are you going to take down someone that you can't find fault in? So in verse 5 it says, "Then said these men, we shall find no occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So wouldn't it be nice for somebody to look at you and look at me and say, "I can't fluster him. I can't get her upset. I can't get her to act ugly. I can't get him to talk about anybody. I can't get him to cheat on their taxes. I can't get them to just steal a little bit or take a little bit longer at lunch. I can't get them to do any of that, but I bet you I can hook them around their devotion to God." Right. Would anybody say that about me? Probably not. They'd probably say it about you, but probably not about me. So they look for how are they going to get Daniel around his devotion to God. In verse 6, "And these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and thus said unto him, King Darius, live forever." That's called kissing up. And you know what? A good king will recognize it for what it is. But every single one of us want to be told how great we are. And if there are people who are willing to do it, and enough people for long enough, we are willing to believe it. Yes, we are. I've watched people. There's a gentleman I'm thinking of right now that has been in a high position for literally 33 years, I believe. And he has developed the skill of setting people down, sharing his point of view, and going, "Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that right?" And to the person, "Yes, sir, that's right." And then the forum breaks up, and everybody's like, "That's going to sink us. Well, that's not going to happen. Well, is he out of his mind?" But you know what? If you're in a position where people want to please you, they will. And if you're willing to believe that you're really that brilliant, that's on you. But the presidents and princes assembled together, and we were trying to get the king against Daniel. And in verse 7 it says, "All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of the lions." So, every bit of this, I'm counting 120 plus 2, so that's 122 men in positions of power, all against Daniel, all against God. Now, surely, with Daniel being the deputy to the king, a position I just made up, with him being second to the king, all those people were probably telling him how great he was too. But when it came down to groupthink, and they were gathered together in a group, and someone in the group said, "We got to take Daniel down," and everyone that might have been loyal to Daniel was too weak to stand up and say, "Wait a minute, Daniel's a good man, we're not doing this," because they knew that their position as one of the two or one of the 120 was at risk, because if they stood with Daniel, if they stood with God, it means they stood in a place that had the other 121 against them, and they were fearing their position. And if you think people will speak on your behalf because they've been with you for years, they've been right by your side, they've told you how great you are, when their livelihood and their situation is at risk, I can tell you from experience, they will not. They will not. And don't blame them. Because everybody's trying to survive, everybody's trying to take care of their own, and everybody's trying to just make it through. And very few people are strong enough to do what Daniel did and what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Very few people can actually stand up and say, "No, that's not it." So you can't expect the 122 or the 5 or whoever's in your circles to do it for you. But what you can expect is exactly what happened for Daniel. You can expect God to be there. Sometimes when the 122 are gathered, there's one that is there, the silent friend that you have, that influences that situation. And sometimes the situation may roll on and you may get in a pickle just like Daniel does later in the story, and God shows up in that situation. But there is one guarantee. If we will tie ourselves to God's Word, if we will fix ourselves to His path, and we will find our position in this world and in this life that God wants us in, there is a protection around that position that nobody can break through. God tells us to pray for our enemies, pray for those who seek to destroy us. If you will do that, God will mess around and give you favor with that person. It happens. So in verse 7, it says that they gathered together and they consulted together to establish a royal statute and a firm decree. And the king, he bit. Verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not, which before King Darius signed, wherefore King Darius signed and writing and the decree." So, here's the thing about this decree or this binding law of Medes and Persians. Once the king signs it, this is the strangest thing. Once the king signs it, he can't undo it. It's like it's locked in. So that's the way that law works. It's dictated that a king's decree could never be revoked, not even by the king himself. So the decree was that. Let me go back to that. They would be focused on him for 30 days. No one would pray to their gods. They would all be focused on King Darius for 30 days. So Darius did this out of pride. He decided that it would be all about, he let these guys trick him, and he said it would be all about him. And I'll just encourage us that if there's anything in our lives that is 100% me-focused, if there's any major thing we're doing that is 100% focused on me, I would just recommend that it might be something that you want to rethink in your life. Maybe it's a strategy or a move that that we might want to rethink. Because even though there are things we have to do to take care of ourselves, and there are things, you know, that we have to do to keep our sanity and that sort of thing, if it's all about me all the time, that's not what God put me on earth for. And that's not what God put you on earth for. God has us here to serve a purpose and not a purpose about me. So in verse 10 it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." So Daniel knew that they signed the decree. It didn't faze him. He still prayed with an open window, just like he did before. So, okay, king, he was the right-hand man to the king. He served the king. He served proudly through a couple of kings there. And he was no doubt loyal. And there was no question of his loyalty. Otherwise, they would have gone after him due to his loyalty. But he was loyal to the king, second to his loyalty to his God. He didn't let this law change him. He stuck with his stuff. He stuck with the fiber that he was made of, that he was knit of, and he did exactly as he'd done before. In our lives, we will get a chance, some of us more often than others, but definitely all of us, we will get a chance to trade our commitment to God to our compromise to something else. Daily, yearly, every 10 years, sometimes it's small decisions, sometimes it's large decisions. But we do get the chance to trade. So then the men in verse 11 assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man..." So they start out with, "O king, how great thou art. Hail the king." And now that they hooked him, they come up to him and they start accusing him. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they, excuse me, and said the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regarded not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But the king couldn't overcome the law that he'd put into place. He couldn't undo the mess that he'd done. There are some things that we do in life that you just can't turn right around and erase. There are some things that come out of our mouths. There are some things that are worked by our hands. There are some things that we get ourselves into that you just can't turn right around and fix. There is nothing that we can't return from. There is nothing we can't be forgiven for. But some things we do leave a mark that doesn't go away. Then these men assembled unto the king, in verse 15, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So one writer said that Daniel was bound by the law, which was the decree, the physical, which was the stone, and the signet, which gave a protection that no one could save him without being executed. If someone had gone and tried to roll that stone away, the king would have had to had him executed. Daniel was in a hopeless situation, in a den of lions, with all these things sealing him in. Sometimes we get in hopeless situations that appear hopeless to us. Our energy is gone. Our faith is gone. We can't see the light. We can't see over the hill. And it looks like there is no way out of this situation. When we have God, we have a way. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. I find this part very interesting, that a man just a few days ago who had commanded the entire kingdom to focus solely on him for 30 days is now focused 100% on Daniel. That's how God can flip somebody. That's how God can put you in a position where you're not in favor, and then you are in favor. Because God can go into that heart, and He can go, you got this wrong. See it this way. And Brother Lee doesn't have to change. God just changes the way he's seen. That's the way that can work. The king got tricked into being selfish. And now all he can think about is Daniel. In verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I can only assume that he really wanted to know if God was able to do that. I can only imagine that God allowed this to happen and didn't flip everybody when they gathered together because he wanted to show everybody that he was able. And Daniel just happened to be the one that was in that path that God would put him in a position to where he would have to go through the lion's den so that everybody else could see that God was able. We know that God's able because we say it. We say that God is able because we know it. But until we're in a situation like this, where Daniel is, until we see that happen for ourselves or somebody that's close to us, we really don't know until we know. How do you know you're saved? Well, what I did sounds like what somebody else did. How do you know God will be there for you? Well, the Bible tells me He will. Those are all very acceptable answers. But once you've been through a lion's den situation, you can look somebody in the eye and say, I can't say it and give it justice. I can't make you understand it, but you better believe that I know that it's real because I've experienced it. And if I know it's real. And the only way you're going to know it's real is either believe in me enough or go through it yourself. I don't know where we are. All right. In verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the mouths of the lions that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocent was found in me. And also before the king, before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. So here we are with a stone over the opening of the den. The king is standing outside yelling in to Daniel, and I'm okay, I get that. But what I don't understand is how Daniel is willing to yell back at the king through the stone so that loud enough so that the king can hear him, where he's surrounded by lions. I would say Daniel was already convinced that there wasn't a lion in the den that could get through the protection he had from God. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was upon him because he believed his God. Imagine the rest and the peace that Daniel must have had to spend the night in a lion's den. And the peace that God gave him in that situation. And it says here, it's because he believed his God. And he didn't believe his God necessarily in the lion's den. That's not where his faith was, where this thing initiated. It was back when everybody said, there's a law that you can't pray to God. It was back when it was a private situation in his room. I guess he could have closed the window so nobody could see. I guess he could have done that. Or he could have gone to a different place to pray where nobody would be watching because they were watching him and watching his window so he could pray. But he made the decision in that moment where he said, no, I don't give here. I don't give there. I don't give on this. I don't give on that. I'm sticking with God. And he made that decision well in advance of any lions showing up. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Now, wait a minute, I got to back up and hit that. So, we can't let ourselves get down a path before we decide to be faithful to God. We protect ourselves in the early decisions and in the small decisions. That's where God can keep us safe. It's in the little stuff. It's in the first offer. It's in the first situation. It's in the first pressure point. It's in that place where we know what we should do, and it's easier to not do what we should do than to do the right thing. And we go ahead and sacrifice in that moment. That's what God would have us to do. And I'm not standing up here saying it's easy. I don't have the privilege of standing up here perfect and saying that I've always done it right and that I'll even do it right tomorrow. That's not who I am. But I know what the Word says, and I've experienced enough in my life to know that if we can stay consistent the way Daniel was, if we can be found without fault the way Daniel was. I don't mean perfect, but I mean in a path where everyone knows that we're going to make our decisions around what God would have us do. That we're grounded in God's Word. If we can keep ourselves in that place, God can keep us protected. We get ourselves in a sticky situation where we've made the wrong decisions and we get out of our spot and we move away from the brook where God's going to have the ravens deliver the food. If we go to a different place and our protection and our substance and our supply is being delivered over there and we're over here, that's on us. God's got it available to us. He just wants us to listen and acknowledge Him and be in the place He would have us be. So the king commanded, and they brought those men that were in verse 24, which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of the lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, and they came at the bottom of the den. Here's the thing about making the wrong decisions in our lives. Every time we take a step in that direction or that direction off of God's path, we pull somebody with us. We all have people, no matter how lonely you think you are or how isolated you may think you are or not, we all have people attached to us. And every time we move, they move. And every time we go, they go. And everything we do, and it may be people you haven't met yet. It may be three generations from now. It may be kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, great-grandcousin that's going to suffer from the decision you make today. Because it's delivered upon our generations. I have paid the price for fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, the decisions they made, they could have picked a different path, and they could have set me up in a different place. But they didn't. So it was harder. You're in the same position, no doubt. I'm not unique here. We're all in the same human experience. We can set those generations following us up for a better situation. Some of you were set up for a better situation because somebody made a decision down your lineage to follow God. You can't affect what they did, and you can't affect what they're going to do, but you can affect what you do and what you're going to do. Every action impacts somebody else. Y'all know who John Wilkes Booth is? He shot Abraham Lincoln. And then he jumped off the balcony onto the stage, broke his ankle or leg or whatever, ran off into the woods, into a swampy area, and hid. And the whole nation was after him. He made that decision, and out of the thousands of people that were scouring every direction looking for him, 87 men drowned in that search in those swamps. He took people with him. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt on the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed and has dominion, shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius." So I'm going to end it with a story, just a very short one. There was and I've shared this before, so hopefully y'all don't remember it. But there was a grandfather and a grandson walking hand in hand. The grandfather asked, "How far do you think we are from home?" The boy said, "Grandpa, I don't know." The grandfather asked, "Where are you?" Again, the boy said, I don't know. Then the grandfather chuckled and said, "Sounds to me as if you're lost." The young boy looked up at his grandfather and said, "I can't be lost. I'm with you." God, we can't be lost if we're with you. If we've got our hand in his hand and we're trusting him to lead us where we should go, even though we don't know how to get where we're going, we don't know how to navigate to the next place, if we've got hand in hand and we're trusting, then we're not lost. Don't go through life lost and without God. Thank you.